Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Off and rolling on a Tuesday, October 28, 2025 is the date. Welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at @Kuhn71. Alongside me, as always, executive producer of the show, that would be Connor Dunning on X at @C Dunning99. Connor, how you doing, brother?
What's up, brother?
Nothing much. A lot of sports on last night, and way too much, you know, going into the wee hours of the morning. Couldn't stay up that late.
No, can't do it anymore.
1:50 is when that 18-inning Game 3 of the 2025 World Series, that thriller, ended. I did not stay up for that, just to be honest with you. We will discuss it, though, in the Blitz today.
Yes. I'm also very happy that we are no longer adversaries this week. We were adversaries last week.
You kicked my ass. You kicked my ass in fantasy.
I got lucky. My team's decimated by
injuries.
Here's
where you got lucky. Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
0.0.
Well, and McCaffrey
points.
Forgot how to play football.
Yeah. Well, he had, what, 8? Even though I'm used to 23.
Did you see who my quarterback was?
Who?
You're just something about Flacco.
Something about Flacco. He's lighting it up.
Lighting it up, dude.
Well, all he's doing is throwing to Jamar Chase 800 times
a game. Not a bad strat.
Yeah. But I'm still 6-2 at the top of the league. So I'm still in a
you
comfortable
are.
Spot.
I'm back in playoff. I'm projected to make the playoff, so hopefully
well,
the show.
Well, if you beat me, brother, you got to be projected to make the playoff.
Hey, beating me should count as 2 wins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. I've been absolutely rolling. I was on a 6-game win streak until I got to you.
Beating the living crap out of people.
Yes. I lead the league in the standings, win-loss record, but also in points for.
I don't know if that's true. I may have caught you.
You may have caught me this week.
But I might be too. I know I'm number one in points against. I'm like two. I think that I'm second in points for. And then first in points again. So my defense, horrific. Horrific defense, but
you know,
I score a lot.
It is just kind of funny, like just looking back at the draft, letting me get, was I the 9th pick or 10th pick?
I can't remember.
I think I was 9th or 10th. It let Christian McCaffrey fall there. Ended up with Davante Adams, Drake London. I've been in this league for 3 years, man. I've been rolling. I mean, I'm due for a fall off.
We
I
say
feel
it
like
every
I'm due
year.
For a
Listen,
fall off, man.
I know we're talking a little early because it is, you know, only halfway through the season about, but. This show.
This one, right here.
This one.
The Gabe Kuhn Show.
This is the best fantasy football show.
I think so. We don't give advice or anything.
No.
Don't ask me for advice.
Definitely not.
I can only advise myself.
Correct.
But, you know, we do pretty well for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, yours truly. We'll talk about the Grizzlies' L last night that they took at the hands of the Golden State Warriors on this West Coast road trip. No fun, to be honest with you. And then we had more Draymond Green antics. I will talk about Draymond and you know, do what I normally do with his antics and, you know, call for the NBA and his fan base and his the support staff of the Warriors to hone him in a little bit. But also, I have a problem with the way the Grizzlies handled that last night. That it was just a lack of backbone, in my opinion. But more on that in a bit. Tigers, Hoops for St. Jude will open on that. First half good, second half not good. Not good. They lose by a final score of 99-75 in that exhibition game. Now, with exhibition games, grain of salt, you know, sort of take it in stride, move on. Last year, they lost in both their exhibition games, and they went 29-6 and were a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. So I'm not going to make any sweeping generalizations about what I saw last night. But I think there is some things to discuss there. Also, we had Monday Night Football, and the Chiefs, they're back. They're so back. And I'll give you the stats to back that up. As far as guests, 4:30, we'll talk some Grizzlies with the Michael Cole from the CAA. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join the program. And then 6 o'clock per normal on a Tuesday, Christian Fowler will join. We have Hoops for St. Jude to talk about with him. And, of course, we need to get to some Memphis football, discuss their outlook for the rest of the season. Blitz at 6:30, trip around the NFL at 5:30. Now, getting into it, Hoops for St. Jude was last night. Let's talk about the positives. I thought it was a phenomenal night. Nearly 10,000 people in FedEx Forum to support St. Jude. Just phenomenal showcase of the city and showcase of the best children's hospital in the United States of America, really in the world. I shouldn't say the United States of America. So that was great. Some Arkansas fans showed up as well. I thought there was a good reception for Cal. That was nice to see after what has been, you know, a sort of tough, 15, going on, you know, nearly 20 years. I thought he got back in.
It's time.
In,
yeah,
and
it was time.
Time, and people accepted it for what it was. Seeing all of the former players coming back was great. CDR on the Jumbotron. I mean, I don't know where he recorded that, but there's no one like CDR. But it was a good show of grace and a nice little feeling of nostalgia, it felt like, getting into that arena last night for all the fans, seeing Cal back in the arena. I thought that part of it was phenomenal. Now, the game itself, tale of two halves is the best way I can put it. First half, Tigers got up by 15 points at one point. They go into halftime with a 45-42 lead. They looked really good. In the second half, they got their brains beat in, to be completely real with you. They lost the second half 57-30. Just was not a good showing. Now, I will give this to Arkansas. They could be one of the best teams in the country if everything comes together. Not only are they athletic, they can't really shoot that well, but they didn't do that last year, and they still made the run in the NCAA tournament. But they have these holdovers, right? You have Trayvon Brazil back for whatever, his 15th year. Carter Knox is back. DJ Wagner is back. Billy Richmond is back. But I think the main thing I noticed last night is their 2 5-star freshmen. Darius Acuff Jr., 17 points. Malik Thomas, 23 points on 3-for-7 from 3. To be able to add some talents like that to a roster that had some decent continuity as is, I really think that Arkansas team is going to be one to be reckoned with. And there's a reason they are number 14 in the preseason AP Top 25.
Yeah, you know, overall, despite the loss for Memphis, I thought it was a pretty good showing for Memphis. A lot of positives you can take away from it. But in that second half, the better basketball team won, and they showed up and they controlled the game. Part of me feels like the first half of Arkansas, they were kind of going through the motions a little bit. You even pointed out that, like, Calipari was sitting down the whole time.
Yes,
he wasn't super active and animated. And then in that second half, you could tell that there was a little bit more of a fever. Because, listen, I am very happy personally that Calipari got a good reception. That team deserves to be honored. It's one of my favorite basketball teams of all time. They still have a huge connection to this city. And at the same time, you know that Cal was telling his team in halftime, I cannot lose this game. Like, there is no way in hell. This is an exhibition game. It doesn't count, but it counts. This game counts.
And
so,
he played some short rotations there in the second half.
It looked like a different strat for Calipari in the second half, but I understand it. And I texted you this. I had a run-in to Cal this weekend.
I did.
Totally forgot about it. I went to dinner on Sunday night at the Peabody, and I was in the lobby, and I was like, why is the lobby popping at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night? And then I noticed, all the Arkansas, jersey, the shirts, and I saw all the players. And then I just like turned, and Calipari's walking past me with his Memphis shoes on.
Yep.
People were swarming him, talking to him. He was having a great time. I got to see one of their assistant coaches absolutely chew out three of the players that walked in after curfew. That was hysterical. And he was dog cussing them.
Yeah.
Dog cussing them.
Don't be late for curfew.
That,
come on now.
It was so funny because he just pulled them to the side. And the funniest part about it, though, was the players were dying. They were, you could tell they were like trying not to laugh the entire time, but dog cussing them. But yeah. Calipari did not want to lose this game, so Arkansas turned it up in the second half, and their athletes took over, and those five stars took over, and they look really, really good. I expect big things from Arkansas basketball this year, but again, if you're a Memphis Tigers fan watching it, I think you can have a lot of pride for St. Jude, a lot of pride for that 2008 team, but also some hope for this team this season.
Yeah, just take into consideration it's an exhibition. They lost both of them last year and still had a good season.
Right.
And I thought we saw some positives. I'll get to the negatives, though, first. Front court definitely gave me some concern. Not that I didn't expect. Like, I expected the front court to give me concern. You have multiple guys that they added late in this calendar, the recruiting calendar, just added them to the roster, in the past couple of months. They're probably not fully understanding what is expected of them, the Tariq Ingrams, Tierno Osias of the world. So there's that. But 56-26 was the points in the paint differential. Memphis's bench just didn't show up where Arkansas's did. Arkansas's bench had 51 points. Memphis's bench, 25. I also look at the rebounding battle. That was concerning.
Mm-hmm.
46-33.
Bradshaw's got to be better at rebounding.
But that's what I wanted to get into. The starting lineup was Doug McDaniel, Curtis Givens, Sincere Parker, Ashton Hardaway, and Aaron Bradshaw. I don't look at any of those guys as unbelievable plus rebounders. The guy who had the most rebounds last night for the Memphis side, I believe it ended up being Quante Berry with 6. The bigs have to show up.
Sincere had
in
6,
the game.
Too.
Yeah, Sincere had 6 as well. So like the bigs have to show up. The bigs have to be able to rebound and do that type of dirty work if this whole thing is going to come together and work. But again, like going back to what we've been talking about this whole offseason, it's not a surprise that the front court looks a little raw right now. And I do think what Penny said last night is going to come true by the time they get to game one. He said, I'm just talking about the starting five and how much it'll change. He said, I'm just trying to see what works. I'm trying to work different rotations. I know this is a complete escape from what he said a couple of weeks ago. I expect to have the starting five ironed out by the end of the week. That's never a realistic thing when you have 15 new players. You have to see who meshes with who and who's going to work well.
Especially
with
one if you don't know if he's going
to
be there.
Right, correct. So you have to figure out who is going to work well together. I don't know if Aaron Bradshaw should be your starting five. He seems to me, and also we had the foul out issue with him last night. He fouled out with 10 minutes to go in the game. But I don't know if that's the guy you want to hinge your season on at the five. Now, I think he wants to stretch out to the three-point line, play a little bit more offense. You could probably slot him in at the four, put a guy like Tariq Ingram in the starting lineup. There's different ways you can go about this. But I think you need, and you learned a lot from this game, you need to find some guys in that front court who can rebound and do dirty work a whole lot better than what you got last night, especially in that starting lineup with Aaron Bradshaw.
Yeah, the biggest concern, if you're a Tigers fan, was you feel very, very thin inside. And Aaron Bradshaw, he is, we've been calling him the biggest X factor for this Memphis Tigers team heading into the season. He's got to be better than he was last night, man. He was dominated by a better team, and that is a little bit concerning. You have to be better than 4 rebounds when you're the size that he is. That just has to be better. You've got to be able to defend without fouling. I thought he was okay scoring-wise. He only had 2 field goals, but he got to the free throw line a couple of times and knocked those down. That's positive, but overall, he's got to be better. I don't think you want Curtis Givens to have the scoring responsibility that he had last night. And we can also be honest about it. He shot terribly from the field. Well, it only looks good because he got to the free throw line.
And the other part of the Curtis Givens experience is this is what he showed last year at LSU. He can create his own shot, and he can go find some ways to get up shots, open shots at times. But he's not a very efficient player. He shot right there around 30% from 3, and he was under way, way under 50%. I think it was 39% from the field last year.
Well, I think that the hope was,
but
at least
young,
for me.
But he's can still grow into himself.
My hope for Curtis Givens this season was going to be more of a 6-man type of role.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted him to come in and be able to make his own, to create his own. Like, that's the version of Curtis Givens that I was seeing heading into the season. last night, I just don't want him to be one of the top two guys on offense.
Right,
like, I don't think that bodes well for the Tigers. The main positive was Doug McDaniel.
Doug McDaniel,
great.
He
looked great. And
within the first 2 minutes, I noticed he was different than anybody else on the team.
He's going to be the bona fide number one guy on this team. I think that is going to be very clear. You have just got to figure out who your second guy is. Is it going to be Sincere Parker if he gets to play? Is it going to be Quante Berry? Is it going to be Zach Taylor? You have to figure it out.
It felt like they didn't have much shot creation, like in shot making with that creation, because
Doug McDaniel was like the only one that was creating.
Doug McDaniel's the only one that was able to do that. But he finished with 19, 6 assists, only 3 turnovers, 3 steals, 5 for 11 from the field, 3 for 5 from 3. I got to the free throw line 8 times, made 6 of them. So, like, he looks to be the head of the snake for this team. And honestly, I don't feel bad about that because I thought he played a really good game and he's got a load of experience. So that's nice. And I think this, like, table setter run that Penny Hardaway is on, he is at that point where he knows what he wants at that position. Right? You've gone Kendrick Davis to PJ Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter to now Doug McDaniel. You have experience and you have good experience at that. In that position, and I think that's sort of a good table setter for the rest of the team to sort of get that guy to bring them along.
Yeah, that's
so that was nice to see. But again, like there are some things this team has to iron out before they get to game one.
Yeah, I think that Doug McDaniels is the biggest positive you can walk away there. I think that the game gives you a little bit of hope because you were able to hang in with the team like Arkansas for a little bit until that second half. You got your doors blown off, but you were hanging in with them in the first half. And I just think that it's very clear that this team's not going to be as good as the team was last year. And having any expectation of that, I think, is unfair to this group of basketball players. It's just they aren't as talented. They don't have the same guys. They don't have PJ Haggerty. They don't have Tyrese Hunter. They certainly don't have a Dane Danger.
They don't have a Dane
Danger. Those three guys were the reason. They were the engine of your team last year. I will also say one thing that was standing out to me that I'm a little just keep an eye on, that three-point shooting.
Yeah.
It was a positive last year for you.
A couple of months.
Can you get just, 35% a game?
What are they, 6 for 32 last night?
6 for 32.
Yeah, not great.
Not great.
Yeah, and 3 of them were from Doug McDaniel. So, listen, things to work on. I'm not going to make sweeping generalizations about
this
team.
Like you said, they lost both last year.
It's the exhibition. And if I remember right, the North Carolina, the first exhibition last year, played out almost exactly the same. If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Very similarly. Where the last 10 minutes, it was just like a complete disaster.
Yeah. I think that the players, though, showed a little bit more. It really felt like in this one guy, Doug McDaniel is going to be a guy this year.
Yep.
Who else is going to step up?
Yep. All right. Now, Monday Night Football last night, Commanders at Chiefs. Chiefs handled business.
Man, this game stunk.
It stunk. It really
this
did.
Game sucked.
But there was some cool things to learn through this game. Travis Kelce tied the Chiefs' touchdown record, 83, that was set by Priest Holmes way back when. He's got 100 touchdown receptions all time between regular season and playoffs. And Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are the third quarterback tight end duo in NFL history to reach 75 touchdowns as a duo. And the other two, pretty good company, Tom Brady and Gronk.
Yeah.
And Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
And they're, 15 behind Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates at 75. They had 90, and Tom Brady and Gronk, I don't know if that one.
Did you see this
105
pseudo debate going on social media over the weekend about Gronk and Kelce? I guess a big Kansas City Chiefs account put out.
So, like, doing the best of all time thing?
Yeah, he was like, Kelce's the best of all. And people were like, relax. It's definitely Gronk.
Antonio Gates leads tight ends all time in touchdown receptions.
I would say Gronk because of his blocking.
Tony Gonzalez is another guy where I think he leads tight ends in receiving yards. So, like, I don't know if I give it to either of those guys.
I would give it to Gronk.
Gronk's peak, though, was better than
Gronk
anything
Gronk was
seen.
An elite blocker,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's the thing that I sit there and we can have debates about Travis Kelce and his pass-catching ability and how smart he is as a pass-catcher.
Yeah. And route running.
Down in zones. Well, route running, not even. He doesn't even really run routes.
Well, that's what he just finds space.
He's a zone center, and he can find a way to get the ball in his hands. And him and Patrick Mahomes have an unbelievable brain trust. But, like, the Travis Kelce, is he the greatest of all time at the tight end position? I've always said
no.
Very firmly no. Because he has one bag, and that's catching passes. Whereas, like, a guy like George Kittle, I've always sort of held in a bit of higher regard because he can catch the ball really well. Yeah, he doesn't have the winning, doesn't necessarily – I mean, he does have the accolades. But his blocking ability is so invaluable to that 49ers franchise. Like, I just think that we need to – when we're talking about the tight end position, there's multiple things you have to do, and blocking is part of it. And Travis Kelce's never been that guy. He's been more of that hipped off, you know outside blocker, you know, dealing with DBs and maybe smaller linebackers. He's never been an inline blocker like a George Kittle, like a Gronk, guys like that. So I think there's nuance to the conversation, but Travis Kelce is an all-time great.
No doubt about it. Not debating that right.
at all. But it does feel like the Chiefs are, like, so back. Because you look up, Patrick Mahomes is second in the league in passing yards. He is first in the league in passing touchdowns. Rashee Rice is back. 9 targets last night, 9 catches for 93 yards. The Travis Kelce thing, we have been debating. Is Travis Kelce falling off a cliff? He's getting old. Is he just not what he once was? He's second among tight ends in the National Football League in receiving
yards. He's finding a way.
So, like, you just – and also, defense is creating turnovers. Mm-hmm. 3 turnovers created in the past 2 games. It just feels like they're rolling, and now they're well on their way to being above 500. They're sticking around the AFC West, although they do have more competition there than they've had in quite a while. You still have the Chargers, who got Joe Alt back, and they looked better last week. And then you still have the Broncos; they're at the top at 6-2. So there's some, you know, real competition there to win the division. But this Chiefs team is just as dangerous as they always have been, it feels like, at this point in the season.
Any concern that they've only beaten one good team?
Not
or is that more were figuring it out as the season went along?
The other part of it, and people do this with the Colts, right? The Colts haven't played unbelievable competition, but you know what?
They've been beating the living crap out of
them. They have the highest point differential. They're plus 116. These last 2 games, yeah, you play the Raiders and you play the Commanders, but you beat the Raiders 31-0. You beat the Commanders 28-7.
Right.
Like they're
and he beat the Lions 30-17, which is really good.
They're really starting to pull away on teams and play the offense that I feel like we became accustomed to at the beginning of the dynasty.
Yes.
Like Patrick Mahomes is finding that non-check down where he can make big plays down the field more than he has in the past couple of years. And they still were in contention in those years. But Rashee Rice, big help, and Travis Kelce still a very good tight end, even if he has lost a step. But if you feel, I will say this, if you feel that we haven't learned enough about the Chiefs in 2025, sitting there at 5-3, you're in luck because their next 3 are as follows: at the Bills, bye week, at Broncos, and then back at home against the Colts. So we will know probably all we need to know about the 2025 Chiefs after this 3-game stretch that they have coming up. So that'll be a fun one to look at. All right, now finally, Grizzlies last night. Dropped to 2-2, 131-118 loss to the Warriors. Not that I was, like, surprised that they lost this game. I expect it. The Warriors are a good team, and the Grizzlies have so many injuries, it's just hard to overcome that on a night-to-night basis. I do think there was a couple of things they did to themselves. The Tomas Isola lineup to start the fourth was absolutely, positively, diabolically bad. I don't know how he thought that was okay. And just to highlight this for you, John Morant, great. Then it was Cam Spencer, John Conchar, Jalen Wells, and Jock Landale.
Can't happen.
You can't
just
do that.
You can't do that.
You can't. It's bad defensively. It's bad. It's worse offensively. Ja is a great player. He's a shining star. He can go supernova at any moment. He can't create for those guys.
No.
Those guys aren't good enough offensively for you to create for him. You're watching John Conchar brick
except
threes.
For Cam Spencer.
Sure. But, like, you got to do something. And I feel like I'm workshopping this take, okay? It feels like until they get back healthier and Ty Jerome and you get Edie back and all those things, feels like what I've seen through the first 4 games, 2 of Ja, Jaren, Cedric Howard, for their scoring ability, need to be on the floor at just about any moment in the game. 2 of those 3.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I don't think the other guys are help enough offensively. You're not getting enough out of them, and for obvious reasons. They're not supposed to be out there.
Or you got to have, like, Wells and KCP, too.
Once this team gets healthy, there are 4 guys or 5 guys in this rotation that will not be playing any minutes.
Correct.
So, like, you just have to take that into consideration when I tell you I think two of Ja, Jaren, Cedric Howard need to be on the floor at all times.
Yeah, I think so. And I think you could make an argument that if you do, for some reason, run one of those guys out there by himself, Wells or KCP also has to be with them.
Yeah,
you have got to give them some help. You've got to put a three-point shooter out there with one of them. And that's, man, the three-point shooting of this team through the first four games has been concerning. It has not been what you want at all.
You know what's more concerning is their three-point defense.
Yeah, with that too.
They're giving up 41.7% to opponents from the three-point line. 41%. That doesn't fly. The only team worse than them, I forget who it was. They're allowing 46%. I know it's a small sample size, but like you cannot let teams do you like that. You will lose every game you play if you allow them to shoot 41% from three, but they're 29th in the NBA in three-point percentage allowed. All right, now let's get to it. Draymond Green, more nonsense. Another dangerous play. Santi Aldama, sort of fast break layup. He tackles him from behind. Tells Jaren to shut up multiple times. Tomas Isalo and Draymond both get teased in this situation. I think what really struck me sort of watching this, obviously I didn't hear this on the Grizzlies broadcast with Pete and Brevin, but I did get wind of the Warriors broadcast and what they were talking about. And it just highlights what I've always talked about with Draymond and the Warriors organization, their fans, his teammates, they just let these things fly. And yes, it's part of the reason that the Warriors were able to make that thing into a dynasty. His edge, like what he brings to the table. But at some point, you have to call a spade a spade. And what I heard last night from the Warriors broadcast team, I think highlights the way that he's babied by the NBA, his fans, teammates, all that. They said on that play, oh, he held him up. These were real quotes from the Warriors broadcast team. He held him up, talking about holding up Santi Aldama. He said, quote, that's not as bad as it looked in fast motion. It was a dangerous play. He's trailing him. He has no way to really contest it, so he basically wraps him up and tackles him from behind. We've seen injuries happen consistently on plays like that. At some point, you have to call a spade and call that a dangerous play. Now, I want to get to the flip side of this because I honestly don't hold any crazy vitriol for Draymond Green for what happened last night. What angered me is the Grizzlies' lack of response.
I agree.
They did nothing.
They allowed it to happen.
Jaren's getting screamed at mercilessly. Shut up, shut up, shut up. He does nothing. He just walks off. And there was no one there to press Draymond Green. It felt like a good night where you could have had Zach Edey in there. He probably would have said something
I don't think Zach would have let that stuff fly.
I think that, you know, not having Ja and KCP on the floor at that time was a big deal. Because I think both those guys, KCP knowing as a vet, I have to step in and mix this thing up. I can't let him do that to us and demoralize the team. And Ja is a guy who doesn't take a bunch of nonsense from Draymond.
Was Cam on the floor?
I believe he was. But
I'm surprised Cam didn't go crazy.
That really angered me. Like, it's the equivalent last night, and I know not a perfect one-to-one comparison, but you saw them go on like a 9-0 run immediately following the Warriors.
Yep.
It's the equivalent of like the enforcer starting a fight in the NHL to get his team some juice. As soon as the Grizzlies didn't respond and the Warriors were all riled up, they took off with the game and the game was over almost immediately following that.
Yeah.
And that to me was the most bothersome part of last night. They gave up a bunch of threes, didn't play good defense, didn't rebound well, didn't do a lot of things well last night. But that is sticking with me. You have to have someone out there ready to enforce. You have to have an edge about you. And when we talk about Grizzlies teams of the past, the reason that they've been able to win, whether it's grit and grind or that team that won 56 games a few years back and was second in the Western Conference, there was an edge about them.
Yep.
And this team, I don't want to have to question in Memphis for a Grizzlies team if you have an edge about you. And I just didn't feel that last night. That was the most disappointing part of last night's game.
Draymond was annoying, and it's just ridiculous that the NBA and the referees allow him to get away with the antics that he has. The fact that he was able to skip around too and not get a taunting, it's just like, come on now. Like, we're allowing this to happen. The moving screens last night too were also absolutely insane.
That's been happening for 15 years. I've given up on that.
That's his signature move at this point, is moving screens. But the biggest concern to me was, oh no, this team got...
they got punked.
They got little boyed a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and listen... You this doesn't show up on a stat sheet or whatever, but like Desmond Bane wouldn't have let that fly. Dylan Brooks certainly wouldn't have let it fly. Steven Adams would not have let that fly.
Zach Edey's hurt. I don't think he would have let it fly, but still.
And I do think it's important to point this out. Ja, KCP being on the bench matters. Zach Edey being hurt matters. Those three guys would have probably been the three would have gone back. But also,
at any given time, you have to have someone that can play that role.
Let's also be honest about this, though, and we can. Jaren? You gotta get in his face a little bit there, man.
Yes.
You can't let that happen.
Your
teammate just got pulled down from the back by his neck, and you're getting screamed at, shut up, by Draymond Green. You can't be the bigger man in this.
No.
Go at him.
No.
Go at him.
With Draymond, I think we've learned over the years, you gotta fight fire with fire.
That's why, like, good thing Coach got a tech. One of the Grizzlies should have gotten a tech there. It's just, when a moment like that is happening, momentum flips immediately. And the Warriors went on a run for a reason. They got fired up. Draymond does things for a reason. He can be a clown sometimes. It's ridiculous. It's annoying. But he does it. It's not uncalculated what he's doing. And it has worked for them for a decade now. You've got to have some sort of edge out there. And if Draymond and the Warriors think they can push you around, they're going to keep doing it.
Here's the thing with Draymond. If you don't like his antics when you play against him, you have to nip it in the bud immediately. You have to go back at him, or he will continue to do it. If you let him treat you like that once, he'll treat you like that forever.
Yeah. Now, and again, John KCP can't get off the bench. They can't.
Right.
They'll get suspended.
Yes.
And Edey not being there, that matters. But like, this team has got to have an edge about them if they want to be competitive. They just do. In the NBA, you have to have an edge about you if you want to win games.
When you're playing the damn Golden State Warriors, you definitely do.
Yeah.
There's just no debate. You have to fight fire with fire when it comes to Draymond Green, or you will lose ball games against them. Let's go ahead and grab a break, and we'll talk about this when we return. We'll talk about the Grizzlies' loss and how they've been pacing the early season with DeMichael Cole from the Commercial Appeal next.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Memphis Grizzlies are 2-2 through four games. They get back in action tomorrow night, 9 o'clock in Phoenix. But to talk about it, and joining me now via the phone line is DeMichael Cole, Grizzlies beat reporter for the Commercial Appeal, also Locked On Grizz co-host. He is on X, DeMichael C. DeMichael, how's it going, man?
Gabe, how you doing, man? It's going pretty good. How you doing?
I am doing well. Now, Grizzlies lose last night, 131-118 on the road against the Warriors. That honestly doesn't disappoint me all that much, but there were some disappointing things in the game last night. Didn't shoot well from the three-point line. Couldn't create consistent offense, especially in that second half. They continue. They're 29th in the NBA in three-point percentage allowed at 41%. They allowed 44% last night to the Golden State Warriors. They couldn't rebound very well against a very small team. They allowed 23 points off turnovers. There's a lot of things I didn't like. But there was one thing in particular that I think bothered me more than any, and that was the Draymond Green situation. And it's not really the Draymond side. He does this. But correct me if I'm wrong, it didn't feel like the Grizzlies had much edge in that situation, and it felt like right after that happened, the game was over for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, it set the tone for the rest of the game. You know, that was the moment where the Grizzlies could have showed, you know, that fight, that we're not backing down, we're not going to, you know, get pushed over, and it could have, you know, gave them a little momentum. It could have been a little energy boost or whatever you want to call it at that time. But, yeah, Gabe, I'm with you. I just didn't like, you know, the way that they handled that situation. And you know, I know some people say, well, what do you do in that situation? Like, you don't want to get a suspension and things like that. And I actually agree. You know,
sure.
I agree on that. But, he first, you know, when he fouled Fronte and that situation happens, no one walks up to Draymond Green at that point. You know, that's one thing. And then as he's talking to Jaren, as I said on Locked On Grizzlies this morning, that's a clear sign that there's no remorse. Like, yeah, I fouled him, and I'm not wrong. Like, I don't.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it? And he's looking at Jaren in his face. He said, shut up. And that is a clear sign to me that I have no respect for you guys as enforcers or whatever you want to call it. And there's a psych to this, too. And that's why, you know, it's not trying to prove that you're big and bad. You know, Gabe, the side to it is if you have listened to Draymond Green talk over the years, whether it be on his podcast, whether it be in interviews, he gains respect from the guys who don't back down from him because there's a mental advantage. I remember when LeBron James earlier in his career, no, it was Kobe Bryant, excuse me, it was Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant used to say, like, he knew when guys wore his shoe when he was playing against them, he knew he had them. He knew he had the mental edge on them. They're fanboys. He's about to cook them. And in this case, Draymond Green is yelling at your star player to shut up. And he just walks back to the Grizzlies bench. And like I said, you don't have to. It's not about going up to him and punching him in the face or putting him in a headlock or anything like that. You know, you walk up to him, you give him a little bump on the chest or something, and you say, I'm still talking.
Yeah. You know, I know this all too well, DeMichael. I was an offensive lineman. If somebody touches my quarterback, somebody hits my running back too late, I'm mixing it up with you. I have to. It's necessary.
This is your background. You get it. And that's why I say it's, you know, I think some people are getting confused with, oh, what are they supposed to do? But at the same time, like, this is a tone setter because guess what? At that point, Draymond feels like he's won. Oh, I just told him to shut up. I just jumped around on the floor after. And he missed the free throws.
There's right.
A fight to that, too. He missed both free throws, and I jumped around, and none of them did a thing. And that's why I said, guess what? When they play the Grizzlies the next time, he's going to do the same thing. Until someone, and, you know, I think it'll probably be Zach Edey, but someone has to go up to him and be that one to say, we're not going to let you keep doing this.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious your thoughts on the three-point defense through four games. Listen, small sample size. And I think we've seen in years past they've learned from their mistakes and gotten better in that area. But 41.7% is what they're allowing opponents to shoot from three. Like, what? Obviously, we could talk about injuries, but I feel like they have more than enough capable defenders healthy right now between KCP, Jaren, Cedric Cower, Jalen Wells to be better at defending the three-point line. What have you seen through these four games that has led to those types of results, bad results?
Yeah, they got to be better. And, you know, because the makeup of the roster they are better equipped to handle these things. Like they talked about improving, you know, getting better perimeter defenders so you don't get in those situations where your own ball defender is just getting beat and the defense is collapsing and they're just getting open shots off of collapsing your defense. You have a Jalen Wells, you go get a Contavious Caldwell-Pope, you go get Cedric Coward. Like the whole identity of this defense now is to have those perimeter-oriented defenders who can prevent that sole thing from happening. But there is some of that that's still happening. I think it's a combination of things. Guys are getting beat off the dribble. That's one thing. And then there's a couple other factors, and it's actually involving the stars a little bit. Like, I think now, to me, I think with Ja Morant, it's more probably a conditioning thing because with Ja, you know, I remember last season when he was playing defense, he looked so energized early on in the season, and he was getting after it, right? And it was, you know, it was a strong sign, but I don't think we've seen that level of intensity from Ja, you know, defensively yet, whereas last year he was picking up full court with the other guys earlier in the season and things like that. And I think it's just more of him getting his wind under him, the fact that he didn't play in the preseason, and they're already trying to ramp his minutes up and whatnot. But, you know, Brandon Podzimski, for example, yesterday, that was Ja's man, especially early in the game when he got going. And, you know, I think there was a couple times where Ja just kind of lazily went under the screens and Podzimski took advantage, and that was that. And then I think with Jaren, you know, it's always kind of been a thing with him from the standpoint of over-helping, you know, chasing the blocks and things like that. I'm looking at some of those shots, and it's like there has been a case of that sometimes where Jaren, you know, he gets block happy and he's going to seek out the block. And now when that player makes the pass, it's 4-on-3 and, you know, they're finding the open guy and they're basically taking advantage of his over-aggressiveness. So, you know, you challenge those guys to be better in that area. But at the same time, you can't ignore it with the perimeter defenders. Like they need to. You know, they need to step it up.
All right, now the injuries are a big part of this, but, you know, generating consistent offense, I feel like especially third quarter, second half's always sort of been an issue for the Grizzlies. But this year, with the injuries to start the year, there's definitely been something. I'm workshopping a take, and I want to know what you think about it. It feels like until they get back healthier, they get a Ty Jerome back in the lineup, a Scottie Pippen Jr. back, you know, Zach Edey back. It feels like to keep up offensively with the better teams in the NBA – it feels like two of Ja, Jaren, and Cedric Coward sort of need to be on the floor at the same time.
You know, I saw you say that, and, you know, I don't disagree with you at all. I've actually been stuck on the fact that you need Ja or Jaren on the floor at all times. That's been my entire thing since the first game. When we saw that Ja was going to play in the first game, I was like, okay, he's clearly not going to get a heavy dosage of minutes, but they have to find a way to where when he's out of the game, Jaren is in there and vice versa, but they also have to give him some minutes together. So it was just curious to see how that worked out. And I think they did it pretty much. They did it well. You know, there was only like a couple little hidden minutes in there where there was no Ja or Jaren on the floor.
Yeah. The start of the fourth though. Did you see that lineup?
Yeah,
Cam Spencer, John Conchar, Jalen Wells, Jock Landale. I don't want to see that one again. Got to be honest with you, Michael.
And it's some depth issues, you know, there, and it's limiting your options, you know, because I think at some point in the season when you have the potential to have Scottie Pippen Jr. and Ty Jerome on the floor, you'll be able to, you know, navigate those situations a little bit better. But that's not the case right now. And one of my biggest questions offensively with this team has been the fact that they don't have many secondary playmakers. So when you take out a Ja Morant, for example, who's going to play make? Because Jaren can play make for himself, but his assist numbers aren't necessarily that. But and it's like, okay, you put yourself in a position where it's just predictable basketball. You know, teams can pretty much predict what you're going to do offensively. They can turn you over. I talked about that stretch where the Grizzlies were up 49-48. This was the last time they had the lead against the Warriors. They were up 49-48. Ja was already out the game, and then Jaren goes out. And, I mean, it must have been 2-3 minutes, and boom, 8-0 Warriors run. Now it's 56-49. The Grizzlies never led again.
Yeah. Now, I know it's hard to ask this question I'm about to ask because Cedric Howard's been phenomenal through four games. I thought he was even good last night in that loss. But through four games, 16.5 points per game,
He's shooting nearly 70% from the field and 64% from three after the preseason where he was, what, 3 for 24 from three. But he's been phenomenal. He really has. To see a rookie in his first four games, you know, show through like that, it gives you some nice hope if you're a Grizzlies fan. But what steps throughout this year do you want to see Cedric Howard take? Like, what steps are there that he needs to make as he plays more games?
It's just about pushing the envelope to me with him. Now, it's always toeing the line because one of his best traits right now is his unselfishness. Like, the game just comes to him. You watch every stat sheet, and I get it now. I get why he's so efficient because nothing is forced. Like, you look at his college numbers, everyone's like, man, this guy shot 70% from the field on twos, and, you know, like, how can you do that over the course of a season? And it's like, it makes sense when you watch him.
Right.
Because it's no, you know, nothing is forced, nothing is rushed. It's I'm going to get my shot. And sometimes the bad side of that, Gabe, is you'll look up through three quarters and he only has three shot attempts.
Yep.
And in this last game, like this one, like we just left the game where he was 6 of 6 on three-pointers. And I don't think it was until, what, probably the third quarter maybe when he took his first three in this game. And you know, like he just lets the game come to him a little bit more. He's not the guy that's going to come dribble the ball up the court. Hey, give me a screen, come off the screen, and just jack up a three-pointer. But as he continues to progress, what I want to see more of is the shot creation and that, you know, kind of let me put my head down and be, you know, that more aggressive, you know, offensive option, you know, because right now with the way that he's playing, it's working, right? Because he's, you know, he's just playing within the flow of things. But at the end of the day, the Grizzlies are going to need him to be more than that eventually. And I think he's a rookie right now. Like, I don't even know if that has to happen this season. You know, maybe it's something when he goes to summer league next year and, you know, they put him in pick and rolls more and put the ball in his hands a little bit more and he gets more of that diet. But that's where I am right now. It's all about his growth as a guy who can eventually turn into someone who can average 20 points per game. And because in order to do that, he's going to have to, you know, be a player who can play more with the ball in his hands. Yeah. We haven't seen that much lately.
Yeah, he's got to force the issue. There's no doubt about it. Eventually. Right now, I enjoy how he's playing, though. I don't want anyone to lose sight of that. All right, now, final thing. I'm not one to, like, sit here in the end of October and say, oh, these must win. You got to win these games. Although last year there were some first-half losses that came back to bite the Grizzlies in the Western Conference standings. We can acknowledge that. But it does feel like these next three are pretty damn important to Michael. No, for October going into November, you have at Suns, very winnable game. Lakers at home, which no LeBron, no Luka. It feels like one you sort of have to win, especially at home. And then you have the Raptors. Like we've talked about with the injuries, they have to build themselves a nice little buffer, stay around 500. It feels like these next three opportunities are big opportunities in getting that done. Until the injuries start to subside.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Because, you mentioned what's coming behind that, and it's the fact that you're going to play a tough group of teams at home, and then you go on a road for a four-game slate. And, I mean, at first it was like Knicks, Celtics, Cavs. Man, that's pretty tough. But then you get the Spurs. You swept the Spurs last year. But I'm looking at the Spurs right now. Spurs are 4-0. So now you put that game in the group of those, and you're like, oh, that's another one that's going to be really, really tough. So that's going to be a tough stretch where, I mean, you're just trying to survive. So, these games, you know, you don't like saying must win this early in the season, but it's the Western Conference. And when we look up later in the season and, you know, four teams are within two or three spots, two or three games or whatever, you're going to be thinking about, like, man, that one game in November and whatnot. So, I do think that getting the Lakers no LeBron, no Luka, that's a golden opportunity. You're going to get the Suns tomorrow. I think that's a very winnable game. The Raptors, they look improved, but defensively there are some holes there. Like, you're going to get that team. And after that, it gets really tough.
Yeah. Now, you brought up the Spurs, and every time I didn't expect to go here, bit of a sidebar. Every time I hear that them, you know, the Spurs or Victor Wembanyama, I just think about how screwed the whole NBA is. He's been so bad, DeMichael. It's not even.
It's bad.
It's ridiculous. And, like, I know that we've been playing basketball in this country for a long, long time and worldwide.
Yeah.
We've never seen anything like this. Like, truthfully, I can say that with confidence. We've never seen anything like him.
He figured it out, Gabe. And it's scary now because I...
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm gonna do my victory lap at some point. But I have a post from about a year or two ago, and I think I said something of the sort of, you know, we're not going to see the best version of Victor Wembanyama until he stops taking so many bailout shots, so many three pointers, so many fadeaway twos.
Well,
he's giving the defense what they want.
Sure.
And now, when you look at what he's done this season, go look at his numbers. He's averaging, I think, 8 more 2-point shots per game, and he's averaging 6 less three-pointers. And it's basically saying, I figured out that all I got to do is be aggressive going towards the basket, and I'm 7-4, I'm stronger than I've ever been, and I'm still going to mix into threes. Like he's still, you know,
right,
taking over 3 a game. It's just I'm not bailing you out. I'm not in a situation where you're like, please don't let him drive, and he actually settles for the 3, and you're like, thank goodness. I'm only taking the threes when I feel like I have a great shot. Other than that, I'm getting to the cup, and I'm using this 7-4 size that you have no one on your roster can contest.
Two things. One, like, mm-hmm. It's just crazy to me the length and athleticism and just the grace he has with the ball in his hands.
Lateral, yeah,
but then he can,
man,
mix it up with his strength. He can push anybody around.
Yeah.
Damn near in the NBA, probably not named Steven Adams. I mean, it's ridiculous. But then, you know, when we talk about what he did his first 2 years compared to now, I don't know how you feel. It feels like the role is now carved out. Like they're running the offense through him, as opposed to Greg Popovich trying to put the training wheels on and not put too much pressure on him the first 2 years. Mitch Johnson has said, this is your team. You're going. You're our engine. Come on.
Yeah. Remember at first he was playing the 4, then he'd go to the 5, and they were trying to figure out, is he going to play the 4, is he going to play a 5? And I think last season it became the point where he's a 5 now, you know, without a doubt. And defensively, we saw it last season. Like, he was going to win Defensive Player of the Year. It was already there defensively. We saw that they made the right decision by putting him at the 5. But now I think we're seeing that leap on the offensive end where he's finally figured it out. Like you said, he's stronger than most guys. He's taller than most. And he's more skilled than most, which is the scariest part at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.